money, that it would not only multiply in our personal lives, but it would begin to multiply in the kingdom of God and produce more fruit than it ever did before. I thank you that you're doing more with $10 than what you did last week, Father. I thank you for multiplication. I thank you, Father. And Lord, I just pray that you begin to cause us to step out in faith according to your word in new areas, Father, that you might bestow a greater blessing on us, Father. We thank you in Jesus' name, and we give you the glory. Amen. Hallelujah. You can sow.
Praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, everybody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Can I tell you something? When you come to church and you praise and we do this thing, don't you know you're not worshiping me?
Amen.
And you're not worshiping Nations Church, and you're not worshiping those that you worship with. When we do those things, that's not a present for anybody else. Nobody gets anything but Jesus. Amen. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And we can go through over and over and over again, but you know what? We don't have to. We can go and teach worship and praise and correct in the air of worship and praise all that we want to, but it's not necessary. Because the bottom line is, you know, as we pray about those things and we seek the Lord, and the Lord says, well, that's not for you anyhow, that's mine. Amen?
Amen.
So you don't have to praise God in order for it to be acceptable to me. Amen? Because it's not offered to me, and I never asked for it. What you do in church, amen, that's what you offer to God. Amen? Somebody say amen in this place.
Amen.
Well, thank God. How many of you are hungry for the Word of God?
Amen.
You know, these are the last days. These are the last days, and God's ready to do what he said he wants to do. And whether you like it or not, he is.
Amen.
Somebody say hallelujah.
Amen.
That's what I find out, that he's doing exactly what he said he would do. And we can trust him in those things. And if we're hungry for righteousness, God said he'd feed us. How many of y'all watch TV this morning? Did y'all see, anybody y'all watch Brother Joel this morning? Anybody enjoy that? Nobody was up early enough to see Brother Joel this morning. Well, he was ministering on some things this morning on how to maintain the blessing of God on your life. And what attitudes, it's a great series, and attitudes of blessing, the blessing of God on your life, how to maintain the blessing of God on your life, that you might be blessed in every area. And of course, they started out, we all know that it's the will of God for us to be blessed, right? The Bible teaches us what? I wish above all things that you would what?
Prosper.
Everybody say that you would what?
Prosper.
And be in health, even as your soul prospers. And that is definitely the will of God for you. Amen? And so with that in mind, you know that God ministers to us in seasons, and he does different things at different times, and he gets that word across, and then you get a release to go on to the next level. How many want to go on to the next level with God?
Amen.
And for the last year, we've been ministering about the same thing. Same thing over and over and over again, trying to get it across to people that God wants them blessed and that God can bless them. Amen. Get out and do something in order to be blessed. And, you know, as I was getting up to this, getting myself together and getting in the Word and doing different things, and I just sensed that I think we should have it by now. I think that the foundation to the blessing of God is already laid. Amen. And all you got to do is take it. And even as I get out there myself and get into some different things, there's nothing better than I can do than pick up a CD. Amen. There's about 3 years worth of good teaching on how to be blessed and how to prosper in your life. But I found out some things today that I want to minister to you. Amen. If you'd let me. Why don't you open your Bibles this morning . We're going to learn something. Open your Bibles to the book of Exodus. And we need to go there And I'm going to teach it the way the Holy Ghost gives it to me. Amen? Because we can miss out on God's best if we allow that to happen. And if you'd open your Bibles to the book of Exodus, let's go there. Exodus chapter 20. And I'm going to hang around verse 20. But before that, let's go to verse 12. And of course, it's getting to these things. It's getting into the Ten Commandments. How many of y'all believe in the Ten Commandments?
Amen.
And it's teaching us, God just got finished giving them the Ten Commandments and all the things that God said. And he's still saying those things. And in verse 12, let's go. It says, "And honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the face, that thy days will be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not cover thy neighbor's house, nor thy neighbor's wife, nor thy neighbor's manservant, nor his maidservant, or his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's." And all the people saw the thunderings and lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the smoke and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. Somebody say hallelujah. I don't think we see enough thunder and lightning today, do we? Mm-hmm. We hear a lot of talk, but we really don't see enough things to really cause us to reverence the Lord the way that we need to reverence the Lord. Amen? And the people stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, "Speak thou with us, and we will hear, and let not God speak with us, lest we die." And Moses said unto the people, "Fear not." Everybody say, "Fear not." They had an encounter with God on the level. They saw some of the ways that God dealt with Moses. They saw that our God is an awesome God, but he's also a terrible God, not in the sense that he's a bad God, but he's a powerful God. And he's a God that's worthy to be reverenced, honored, and loved. And as we minister over and over again, we tell people that God is real. And he doesn't really play games. Somebody say, there are certain things that are reverential that you got to watch out for or you're going to be in trouble. And people hate to hear that today. But it's still so. Somebody say, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It's still so. The closer you get, the more dangerous it gets. And we must honor the Lord in those things. Now, and the people stood afar off. And they said, "Now listen, you talk for us. You deal with it." And some of the things we find now, different people get God. God is the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. But don't you know that the greater the responsibility you're given, amen, the greater the mission on your life, the greater the blessing on your life, the greater the responsibility.
Yeah.
And people think, like with some of us, the closer we get to us or the closer we get around people, the more we're familiar we get with them. And then we take liberties on that familiarity. See, we just know somebody, we just meet them yesterday, then we're going to put on our best face or our best behavior. But then we get to know them a little bit, and then we get more familiar. But with God, it's quite the opposite, I've learned. Amen? The more I know him, the more it makes me want to reverence him.
Amen.
Somebody that just met him yesterday can act any kind of way, amen? But people that have known him for a while, they've learned to reverence him. Talk to some of the saints that have been in the thing for a while. Amen? They know that God is real, and God doesn't play games. Somebody say hallelujah. So, he said, "Now listen, you talk to the people for us. And the Lord said, okay, and the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. And the Lord said unto Moses, thus shall you say unto the children of Israel." But before that, I want to go back to verse 20. There's some more there. "And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come." Everybody say, "God has come."
God has come.
"To prove you." To prove. Everybody needs to write that in your notes if you got some. Amen. Fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. Now, he was saying, and listen. First, he's saying, listen, that his fear may be before your faces, but then he's telling them to fear not. What is the balance? First of all, they saw the light, and they were afraid of all the light. I mean, they were scared. I mean, they were just scared. Had anybody ever been scared before? I mean, they were ready to run, I'm sure. When you saw, how many of you, if thunder and lightning started hitting this room right now, would you be ready to run, be a little bit afraid? If you had some sense, you would, right? And they were afraid of all those things. They said, first of all, get your senses about you. Don't be afraid. Amen. For God has come here to prove you. And a lot of people don't really like that. And what I want to talk to you about, first of all, I believe for those that are ready, you're about ready to go into a new season. I believe you come out of the wilderness and now you're about ready to go to the other side. But there's a test on both sides. So say the second test. Test two. And there's a tester on both sides, and people don't really realize it. So, Pastor, what are you talking about? When you go through the wilderness, amen, the enemy is there to test you. How many know the devil tempts us and messes with us? Then the Bible said, oh, Pastor, oh, I'm so sick of people that think they know so much and know so little. Find a little bit of scriptures to justify their wrongness and just spit it out there, amen, because they can say it with passion. It's supposed to be perfected and supposed to be right. They can be so wrong. Somebody say hallelujah. You better know the Holy Ghost. Every little word of advice. The Bible says that's why you got to know the counsel of God versus the counsel of the world. You got to, you know, we're talking about even religious counsel will get you in trouble sometime if it's not scripturally seasoned. Somebody say hallelujah. We heard something on Friday night. I'm going to bring it up today. There was a young lady that came here, and she had gone someplace, and she had gotten rebuked in church, and maybe the way she was rebuked was wrong, and she was all offended, and she said, that was no man of God because of the way that man talked to me in front of those people. And we all know that's not God. We all know that's control. And Pastor Osteen told us, whenever you see this, and I'm bringing it up because the Holy Ghost talked to me about it today. Amen? We all know this because Pastor Osteen taught us, when you see those things, you know that's not God. God's not going to deal with you with that. God's not going to deal with you with that. So I was just ready to do whatever I got to do. You believe he called me a Jezebel spirit in front of everybody, and right in front of my face, called me a Jezebel spirit in front of everybody, and it didn't sit well in my spirit, and I didn't have the peace of God about it. Well, we would hear that stuff, and we say, well, wow, yeah, we take it in. Pastor Osteen said it. So she says, this one says it, so it must be so. But when you put it against the Word of God, it's a bunch of bull. You know why? Because we'd have some type of scriptural backing for what she says. And it's not so. I know that we have several cases where people have been confronted very boldly by God in Scripture, amen, and never once seen whoever confronted them boldly about their sin, about their action, about their attitude, about whatever it was. And you know what? God didn't do it in the corner. Look at Ananias and Sapphira. He didn't wait. He didn't preserve their feelings. Amen. Because their feelings didn't matter because he knew they'd be dead in a couple hours. Amen. Or in 15 minutes. So you can buy anything you want to, but if it's not seasoned in the Word of God, you know, your opinion matters very little up against the light of the Word of God, and will miss out on so many things. And the devil will slip stuff over on you and you'll be so lost. And thank God I knew men of God. Somebody say hallelujah. Anybody can tell me anything over a plate of supper, but I've only known you for 15 minutes, amen. But I've known Dr. Howard, I've known Brother Hagin over the years, and I've seen the course of their walk, and amen, and I understand it, and I also know the Word.
Amen.
I also know the Word. I know where I've gotten and who got me there, but I don't know where you've been, and I don't know where you want to take me, so I'm not going to take your advice. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, do y'all want to have church today?
Yes.
Y'all want to just sit and look? No. You know we can still have church with five people. We can still have church with five people. We can still get the Word and go on. But you know what? You know how I know that we're supposed to have church today? If God speak, it's worthy to be said.
Amen.
If God speak, it's worthy to be said. You know, we could start at 5 o'clock this afternoon. As long as that Word went forth that God said, it's still good. Somebody say hallelujah. It's still good and it's still right. Somebody say hallelujah. We need to get on with God and stop being distracted by the works of the enemy, even though he comes. Somebody say hallelujah. As a wolf in sheep's clothing. Am I calling? Am I talking to somebody now? No, I'm just showing ignorance. We praise God. They'll get the word of God. Amen. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
They'll get the word and come to the light. But you got to catch that stuff because people will put something over on you that you want to get. And I wouldn't have messed with it today unless the Lord was dealing with it in my spirit. He said, no, that's not so. Find it in the word. Find the thesis in the word. You're not going to find it anywhere. Well, that preacher was controlling. You're not going to find that in anywhere in Scripture. Nowhere in Scripture was there ever apostle, preacher, evangelist, pastor, anybody that got in anybody's face about any wrong. Never once was there a biblical person to come up against them with Scripture saying that that action was wrong. Somebody say hallelujah.
Yeah, hallelujah.
And if you think I'm wrong, find it in the Word. Now, I could find where it happened on the other sense where people were confronted about stuff. Now, Paul said, listen, I confronted this man to his face and said that which he was confronted another apostle, first of all, and he did that. And that wasn't wrong. Now, we know that Jesus many times got in the face of the scribes and the Pharisees right in front of everybody. And I tell you, now, calling somebody a snake and a child of the devil. Now, listen, other people had to be around there to, you know why I know they were around there? Because Jesus didn't write the book.
Amen.
He inspired the book, but somebody else had to hear it to write it and tell somebody else. How many know there were several instances in the Bible where Jesus got in somebody's face and told
Amen.
Them the way it was?
Amen.
You whitewashed sepulcher. Amen. You're a liar and your father was a liar. Amen. You're a liar just like your father. He was a liar from the beginning. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, that's just not Jesus. I just want to go to some place where I hear love. Well, you wouldn't want Jesus to come to preach to you. Amen. And you got a bunch of stuff going on. You think he's just going to pat you on the back? No, God knows everything. And God is good and God is real. Amen?
Amen.
Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You can't just pick and choose what you like out of the Bible and the way it comes. You just can't pick and choose the way it comes and the way it comes. Now, you hallelujah. Oh, as long as it's sweet, as long as it's nice, I take it. No, if it's right, it's right. Period, point blank. The way it comes, it's... You know, listen, the word can be wrong. Now, God will deal with the vessel the way that they present that word. Amen. But that does not negate that the word was not so. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Are we learning anything?
Amen.
Are we learning anything?
Amen.
Are we learning the word?
Are
we learning the word, or you can be dumb just like everybody else, go believing what everybody tells you, amen, other than what the word of God says, and miss it, because you'll miss your blessing. Because I'm going to tell you what, you get off, I'm going to get in your face in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Until the word of God tells me differently. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
And you know, the Lord corrects those that he loves. Now, tell me about that apostle, now, David. Now, David was a trip, wasn't he? Now, David got off, and he did some things. And that preacher went up there in front of David and told him that story. And he said, you know what? That's you. I caught you. See? That was you that did that. Got in his face about it. Somebody say, hello. Somebody say, sometimes it gets in your face real clear. God is out to save your souls, not to pacify your feelings. Somebody say, hallelujah. There are a lot of people peacefully going to hell and don't even know it. Glory to God. Well, anyhow, somebody say hallelujah. Getting back to where we're going. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you. Another thing that we want to, another little religious cow that we want to knock out biblically and scripturally, and people say this, everybody ever heard, God cannot be tempted, nor does he tempt anybody else. Now see, some old religious devil deceived, the spirit of error. Everybody say the spirit of error.
The spirit of error.
The spirit of error is just enough people that know just enough Bible to be dangerous.
Amen.
Know just enough Bible to be dangerous, but don't know God. Somebody say hallelujah. Know just enough Bible scripture, but don't know God. Amen. Knowing the letter of the law. Amen. But don't have the spirit of the law on the inside of them. And I tell you what, now I could get up here and preach a message totally and leave something out that I don't even have to say. God wants to tempt you. God wants to tempt you. And that old religious devil will stick right up. Oh, I know the scripture. The pastor doesn't know. I caught him. I'm not going to bring it up. Oh, I caught him. Now, I knew he was off. I'm looking for him to be off. And there he is. God's tempting us. Oh, we know. They know that one little scripture. And they're so happy to know the one. Why don't you find the scriptures that are true that you can agree with instead of trying to find the stuff you disagree with and wonder why you're not going nowhere? Now, how many of you know that? How many of you got a little jump in your spirit in your head? God wants to tempt you. If I said that to you, how many of you had a little jump on the inside of your spirit? Anybody get that? If you knew the word, you probably would have, right? So let's say hallelujah. Because there's another scripture in the Bible says that what? Let's go there. Anybody ever caught people like that? Amen? Somebody say hallelujah. Know just enough scripture, amen, to get messed up, and God gonna let them be tripping too. Go here. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, 13. They're going to memorize it. Amen. I knew he was off. And every little dummy that listened to him, following, they got a whole little Bible study. He took them off on the wrong tangent. Amen. They gone off on the wrong tangent. It was going to be cleaned up on Wednesday night. Amen. But between Tuesday, amen, they starting their own church. Amen. Because somebody knew more scripture than the pastor. Amen. Somebody had a better direction than the pastor. Amen. Somebody say hallelujah. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither he tempteth any man. And they're going to read that and say, God doesn't tempt people. You're a liar. He does. He doesn't tempt you with evil.
Amen.
He does not tempt you. Now, when you read this in context, when you read it in context, now I'm going to have to take it back to context. Somebody said, it's not clear enough, Pastor. Well, it has to be clear enough because when we look up temptation in the Bible and when different people were tried and tempted, we're going to find in cases where he said, listen, try them. Now, right here in Exodus, verse 20, how many of you are picking up anything?
Amen.
Exodus 20 says, and Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you. And guess what that word prove is? To tempt you. Somebody say hallelujah. And I said, oh, Lord, see, I had to be open to the Holy Ghost because he first thought, you know, sometimes the Holy Ghost throws stuff out there to see if you trust him. And if you shut up for the next 15 minutes, you know, I'm talking about me with the Holy Ghost, you see. See, I wouldn't get some of the messages that we get from the Holy Ghost if I shut him out right away. Oh, you devil, I rebuke you. You're coming to deceive me because I know that one scripture. And he's just waiting for you to shut up, for him to open up new revelation to you.
Amen.
So say, shut up till you hear the rest.
Say,
glory to God. See, there are so many people that were cut out of stuff because they hadn't heard the rest. They see, you know, Jesus would always do that stuff. He would throw a statement out there to shock them and get them off guard, get them offended, and all of them that didn't listen for the rest left. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But those that hung on after it and found out what he was trying to say. Now, remember the man, he said, look, go sell everything you have.
Right.
He left before he heard the rest.
Yes.
How many people get upset and mad and frustrated when God just tells them a little bit? You better make sure that before you get all wigged out that you've heard everything the man or the Father God has to say to you. Somebody say hallelujah. It's hot in here. We're going to get out of here. But we got a good word. You're going to get blessed. There's a prophetic thing here for you, too. There's some revelation here for you, too. There's some revelation here for you, too, because God loves you and he cares about you. And there's some revelation here. And we got a little bit of direction here. And this might be the one of the last kind of messages in that last season that you'll hear for a while. The rest of them you're going to have to get from a CD. I said, well, God, so many people need to hear it. He said, tell them to go get the CD. I'm serious. God said, okay, you've taught that, now I want you to go on. Now I want you to go on to something else. I said, but God, there are so many people that didn't catch it right. He said, well, they weren't paying attention, tell them to get the CD. Move on. This last season, most of the teachings that you heard were in reference to how to get out of the wilderness and how to deal with your temptation in the wilderness. Now there's a new test. Somebody say hallelujah. There's a new test. Somebody say the second test.
Second test.
No, when they were in the wilderness, when Jesus went into the wilderness, he was tempted of the devil 40 days to see if he'd get off track. There's a test when you don't have. The devil messes with you when you don't have anything, right? When it's all messed up, the devil says, now, I told you God wouldn't take care of you. God didn't love you. This stuff doesn't work. Why don't you quit? Don't even try it. Don't even. The devil's test is to keep you in the wilderness. You understand? When the devil tempts you and tests you while you're going through trials and tribulations and different things, okay? And tries to get you to do evil or get off the plan of God, the devil tempts you in negative seasons to get you to quit. That's the first one. After you come out of the wilderness, there's another test. The devil tests you to keep you in the wilderness. God tests you to keep you in the promised land. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The devil will test you and tempt you and mess you up to keep you without, to keep you in lack, to keep you from never getting delivered. But then the Lord will come and test you or prove you. Somebody say hallelujah. To keep you where you need to go. Can someone turn down the air a little bit more? Amen. It's hot in here. Is that? Are y'all sure it's where it's at? Hallelujah. Y'all don't mind I take off my jacket. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. There's a lot of meat here. I'm glad y'all had some breakfast before you started. If you weren't too mad to eat it. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Somebody say thank you, Jesus. Now, Exodus chapter 20, verse 20. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you, that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. And I have a word from the Holy Ghost for you. Fear not, for the Lord has come here in this season to prove you. And the somebody say hallelujah. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. And the Lord said unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, you have seen and have talked with, ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. Ye shall not make with me gods of silver. So say gods of silver. Neither shall you make gods of gold. And an altar of earth shall thou make unto me. Some say God's test.
God's test.
Some say promised land.
Promised land.
Test.
Test.
See, the devil tests when you don't have it. God tests when you do. See, he was about to take him over to the other side, and God was prophesying some things. Said, listen, when you get the goat, you better not make no idols out of it. Somebody say hallelujah. Now some people get tested when they don't have it. You got to find out what test you are. Well, I know what test you got. Amen. I know who your teacher is. But there are others that get it and they don't understand. They think, I got it. Amen. No, now God's ready to test you. Some say gold and silver. And making gods. And make an altar of the earth shall thou make unto me, and thou shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings and thy peace offerings, thy sheep and thy oxen. In all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee, and I will bless you. Somebody say, God's test,
God's test
is the altar.
The altar.
Oh, glory to God. How many of you like that?
Yeah.
See, people don't want to hear. This is a prosperity message. You better catch this. How many of you like to, you know, we were going to take a test. We thought we needed a test, but we didn't really need it. Amen. And we had a big exam that we had to take, and sister, different people were helping us get all ready for the exam and praising us for the exam. And we went to take a test. No, we went to a class to help prepare us for the test we needed to take. This is an exam prep test class. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Because God wants you to pass. If not, just stuff your ears.
Thank
amen.
God.
And if thou wilt make an altar of stone, thou shalt not build on it of huge stone. For if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. Neither shall you go up by the steps unto mine altar, that thy nakedness, somebody say thy nakedness, be discovered thereon. Oh, somebody say this is a good test. How many want some revelation on that? And somebody say, I don't have any problem with being naked. That's nasty. I'm not going to go to church naked. I'm not going to go to church naked. See, the church is altar. When you bring your offering and all these things, you know, come on, there's an altar. You worship God. That's an altar of worship. But you just can't come any kind of way. See, people don't know when they come to church naked. Oh, glory to God. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. What does it mean? Now, somebody say, that thy nakedness. Oh, glory to God. The revelation's in this place. Y'all shut me up and I'll teach it later. Somebody say hallelujah. But what does this nakedness mean? This nakedness is when we come, we are supposed to be covered in the blood of Jesus. We are supposed to put on the whole armor of God. Oh, somebody say, thank you, Jesus. When you don't come covered in the blood, you're naked. So say, wait a minute, I am covered in the blood. No, if you don't have the blood for somebody else, you don't get it for yourself. See, we have the blood of Jesus, which cleanses us from all sin. See, we are all nothing. Amen. We're all sinners saved by grace. There's no good thing that we can do to get to heaven. It's by his shed blood on the cross where we can stand holy and walk before this thing by mercy and by grace. And you get to put it on as long as you know that everybody else gets to wear it too. Amen. And the minute that we start stripping others of the blood of Jesus. See, love covers a multitude of sin. That means somebody can be messed up. Somebody can have this and have that. But Jesus and his blood covers it. We're looking to cover people up. We're not looking to expose this and expose that. Amen. The minute you rip off somebody else's top, there goes yours. So when you go to the altar, somebody say hallelujah. Make sure that your nakedness, don't let it all hang out. This is just me. No, you better cover it up. You better put it under the blood of Jesus. No, I'm going to come the way I feel like coming, do it the way I feel like coming. And you just went, no, you can do that in the wilderness, amen. But when you come near this altar, that which the Lord has called you to build, amen, you're not going to come up uncovered. You need to put on the whole armor of God. You need to put on Jesus Christ, his blood. So say, put on Christ. How many of you come in this place covered today? Are you naked or are you covered? Some say, I didn't know it was a test. Somebody say, hallelujah. It's not enough just to bring it, but you got to bring it covered. Oh, bless the Lord. Somebody say, hallelujah. Oh, we're about to get out of here. It's 12:30. There's so much more there. And I'm going to be ministering in this area on the second test because it involves responsibility with blessing. Some of you didn't even pass the test in the wilderness because you didn't believe it was so. You just thought we were running our mouth about it. And now that thing's starting to manifest. And you didn't think you made it. You thought you graduated. Look at somebody and say, you're not in heaven yet. There's another test. There's another test. So we understand that God said, listen, I'm going to prove. Everybody say prove.
Prove.
Now, everybody say prove again.
Prove.
He says, I'm going to prove you. And what he means when he says that, I'm going to go down here and make it a little bit early. Is this helping anybody?
Yes.
Don't y'all love it when you come to church and you think it's for everybody else? Look at somebody and say, it's for you.
It's for
you. Somebody say hallelujah.
Looking
around, trying to find out who is he talking to. I'm talking to you. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Somebody say prove.
Prove.
Now, I like this for I'm going to prove you. And when we break this word of prove down, what we're basically saying is God is going to attempt or tempt. Now, we can look at it as just attempt or try, right? But I like it this way. We've got several ways that we can look at this. Amen. But somebody say, when God tests you or tries you, it's like he's going to put you on an adventure. Somebody say hallelujah. How many have gone through different things and you think it's a trial? You think it's a big mess? Somebody say, oh, I'm on easy street. No, honey, it's just an adventure. God's about to prove to you some things.
Amen.
Oh, we got this new business deal. Oh, it ain't no new business deal. It's a test. It's a trial. It's a test. Somebody say, it's just about as much as a test as you believing for your light bill. Amen. It's still a test. God is every test of God is an adventure. You go on adventures with God when you go through things. How many of you needed him to be a healer? And as you were believing God to be the healer, it was an adventure seeing that thing manifest, right?
Yeah.
How many are ready to take your next assignment, your next thing? You don't know it all. You don't have it all together. You're going to have to walk it out by faith. and see it out by faith. And that adventure of walking with God is the test. And God just wants to see, are you going to trust me? Are you going to believe me? Are you going to stick with me? Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So in that test, amen, God wants to prove you in some things. God prophesied it again and again, and I can stand on it because we've never been closer to it before in your life. I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to do that for you. And if you listen and did what he told you to do, he'd be doing it. And now that he's done it, he's trying to teach you how to keep the blessing flowing. I said some things before. We were here at a Holy Ghost meeting, and I spoke out to the people, and God told me, I want you to bless them, preach them into prosperity, and make them rich. How many of you remember we said that?
Yeah.
Guess what? I should have shut up a little bit longer before I told you about it and listened to the other half. Somebody say hallelujah. Glory to God. Because y'all are going, oh, we're rich. We in the money. I'm getting paid. Somebody say hallelujah. How many of you thought that? Amen. Well, you are. But you know what I found out? I ain't making none of you rich. Not a soul. Go get your own job. Somebody say hallelujah. You go work it out yourself. I'm sick of making people rich do whatever they feel like doing. Amen. If I'm going to make you rich, I'm going to teach you a skill and you're going to pay me lessons. Amen. You're going to pay me. Somebody say hallelujah. What God was really saying, somebody say hallelujah, I want you to make me rich. Not me personally, but him rich. So when he asked me to make you rich, he was saying that he was going to do something in you that as we cause you to increase, it causes his kingdom to increase. Because God is not out there just making people rich, even though he is. Look beyond it. Somebody say hallelujah. Look beyond it. If you are so small-minded to think that God's all God wants to do is give you $6 million in your bank account, you are messed up. He wants to do it, but it's bigger than that. He's out putting $6,000 or $6 million in his bank account. It just got your name on it. And we're going to find that out. Oh, it's hot in here. We got to go. Y'all want to get into that? Somebody say hallelujah. So when you find out when God's doing some stuff and somebody preaching over and over and over again, it's not just because he wants to give you a new wig or a new pair of shoes. Amen. You get that. Amen. But it's something deeper than all of that stuff. God's going to do more for me than that. He's going to do more. I mean, he wants to invest. He wants to do more with my life just to make somebody, give somebody a new dress, preach them into a new dress and some lipstick or a pair of shoes or a new house. Come on now. I'm tired of that. Somebody say hallelujah. What a waste.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. What a waste. God is out there trying to get us to teach the word and preach the word, amen, in the right heart, in the right mindset, amen, that will increase his kingdom. Say, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Go here. I'm going to give early passes today so y'all can get out, amen. Luke chapter 12. Go there. Y'all getting anything? Somebody say, I'm teaching on the second test. I'm teaching on the second test. If I'm running around and not being clear, I told you about the first test, and I told you that some of you others are about to enter into the second test, and that's what I'm teaching you on. And the second test is talking about how you handle the blessing of God once you get it. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I like that. We're going to start teaching on how to be responsible for what God gives you. Amen. I ain't got it yet. Get the CD. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Luke chapter 12. When you got it, say, when you got it, get in there, tell me you're there. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Can I teach this thing and get y'all out of here in about a half hour? Let me just teach it so we can go on, because I believe you really need it. Luke chapter 12. Is the other AC on? In the other building? All right. It says this. So he that layeth up treasure for himself. And say, laying up treasure for yourself. Say, laying up treasure for yourself. I ain't preaching nobody to lay up treasure for themselves. Somebody say hallelujah. Now see, selfishness is a hindrance to the blessing of God. Because you don't need it. Somebody say hallelujah. Now this is the mentality that this is the second test. You don't need it, but he's going to give it to you. But as long as you think you need it, he's not God. See, this is how people allow the blessing of God to distort things. Amen. You're going to learn the second test. This is the second test that God's trying to teach us. The second test, even though you're going to get all that stuff that God's promised you to get it, amen, that is not your choice, your treasures. Listen, lay not up for yourselves treasures. It says, so he that layeth up treasures for himself is not rich toward God. I'm out looking for people to be rich toward God. I'm out looking for people to be rich toward God. There are so many people that are broke toward God. They got money in the bank, but when it comes to God and the things of God, I'm broke. Come on now. They're rich to the phone bill, rich to the rent, rich to the car note, rich to the shoes, but when it comes to God, somebody say, broke. Oh, hold on, that's mine. Back up now. Somebody say hallelujah. The Bible says, he that layeth up treasure for himself. Well, what you laying it up for? Wait a minute, I got to put this to the side right now. Oh, I'm teaching good today. Amen. I'm teaching well. Hold on now. Wait a minute. Now, the 10's God. Amen. 10% belongs to God. Amen. But the riches, obviously, is mine. He that layeth up treasures for himself. You don't need to get a bank account for yourself. I don't care how much. And I'm not saying you don't get a bank account in your own name. I'm not saying that God doesn't want you to have $1 million in the bank. He does. He wants you to have much more than that, but you'll never get it with the wrong mentality. Amen. Am I saying that every time that somebody coughs in church, you need to fork up the bill? Absolutely not. But I'm talking about those that are outside the wilderness. Come on now. People that get over to the other side, to the promised side, where you're learning now that I got this stuff, you're going to get the revelation that even though I got it, I don't need it. Somebody say hallelujah. Is it possible to live that way? Even though it's, see, because that's how many people get stuff, and the stuff that they get gets them. They don't got it, and they've been fighting all their life to get it, and finally after they got it, they're imprisoned by it. Somebody, the second test. Everybody say the second test. He that layeth up treasure for himself. I got this, I got for what? To say, what is it there for? Just in case he don't come through. What's it? I got to think about tomorrow. Come on now. We can sing and pray all we want to, but I got somebody say, layeth up treasures for yourself. I'm not trying to tell you to be stupid and not get some insurance or do different things. Amen. But come on now. He that layeth up treasures, God's teaching us something right here, because you can get in the wrong mentality right now. Banking. Am I telling you to get rid of your bank account? Absolutely not. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Are you reading the same scripture I am? I'm going to make it clear and make you deal with it. Amen. You're going to have to distort the scripture. Amen. To keep that old mentality. So he that layeth up treasure for himself is not rich toward God. I'm here to tell you, you're not rich toward God. You might got it in the bank, but you are gut-busted, broke, poverty when it comes to the things of God, amen, to the heart of God, broke toward mission, amen, broke to responding to everything. Somebody say hallelujah. I can afford this, amen, but boy, let them take a second offering. I'm broke. Hold on now. Somebody say, now you might got it in the bank. Oh, aunt, shut that phone off.
I'm so sorry.
You might have it in the bank, amen. How many are rich toward God today? Come on, how do you tell where you're rich toward God? How many are rich toward the Lord today? How many are rich enough to where if God said to do this, you could do it without a problem, amen, because you're rich toward God? Rich people can hang like that. Rich people can afford the Starbucks coffee. They can afford to do what they got to do, amen. They respond quickly. See, people that are rich toward themselves do that kind of stuff, amen. People that are rich toward themselves, when it comes to blessing them, oh, it's no problem, amen, I can handle it. I'm not going to be driving in that. No, no, no. I ain't going to be wearing that. God's too good to me, to me, to me. See, rich to themselves, but when it comes rich toward God, someone say hallelujah, it's a different story. Some say, God doesn't want you broke concerning him. See, God's trying to get you rich on both sides. He wants you to be rich in the bank, amen, but rich in the bank and broke toward him, you ain't nothing. He that layeth up treasures for himself. Everybody say himself. Himself. Say it again. Say it. Say, you say it all the time. You always talk about you. Why can't we talk about it now? Amen. Everybody say himself. Me, 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 me. Me, me, me. I got to think about me. Me, 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 me. I. Selfishness. If all your stuff is you and about you and you got to take care of you, you got to look out for A number one, you broke. Somebody say hallelujah. Say poor. Say people that are not rich toward God are always thinking about themselves. Remember we did that test before when we started teaching prosperity? How do you know if you're broke? Amen. We need to do that. How do you know if you're spiritually broke? See, many people didn't know you could be rich toward God. Many people didn't know you could have a lot of money in the bank but be broke toward God. And somebody said, oh, you preaching it. You know, God got in my face about it. Brother, you just as broke toward me. Somebody say, yeah, amen. I'm not coming. I'm talking to myself. Somebody say, and if he gave it to me, I'm going to give it to you. I'm not going to sit in that seat by myself. I had a missionary call me and I waited till I got it. You know, I had it, but the church might need it. It was a desperate call. But we got to take care of us. Somebody say, broke toward God. I got it in the bank, but yet I'm broke. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I mean, all of you can turn out to be $1 million, make $100,000 a year, and the things stay just the same. Why? They got it in the bank, but they're broke. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, bless the Lord. Thank God for that rich little boy with the one fish or whatever fish he had. What was it 12 loaves of bread and 3 fish? What was it? 5 fish and 12 loaves of bread or... What was it? It doesn't even matter. You're going to take me to court on how many fish it was. It was a little bit of fish and a little bit of bread. Somebody say hallelujah.
It was a little boy's lunch.
It was a little boy's lunch. Amen. But thank God it was a rich little boy toward God.
Amen.
Thank God it wasn't some broke man. Amen. With a whole shipload out there. Somebody say amen. That couldn't invest it in God. He was broke in God. That's what it gets in when we get into the widow's mite. Somebody say hallelujah.
Amen.
God was saying, hey, they're broke. Amen. There's the rich one. Amen.
Amen.
There's the rich one. Somebody say, hey, I'm so sick of broke toward God people. Amen. Because they can have it and you still be without. Amen. Oh, thank God. Broke toward God. But I tell you what, somebody got $5. Somebody got 50 cents. Amen. But in their heart, they're rich and they're going to mix it with faith and God's going to do something with it. Second test. And he said unto the disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Oh, I'm in some stuff today. Me, 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 me. Broke toward God. And the reason why we got it laid up here, amen, because it's taking care of our life. Taking care of business. So say broke. Toward God. They don't realize that God's going to come through.
Amen.
God's going to come through whether you got it, whether you don't got it. Whether it's $16,000 in the bank, whether it's $5 in the bank, God's going to be there. I'm rich toward God. He will never let me down. He will never fail me. That is not my source. Easy come, easy go, come again.
Hallelujah.
Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm not saying, glory to God. I'm not basing on what I am and what I can do based on what I got banked and what my checkbook says. God doesn't want you to be that way anyhow. Amen. You need to be rich toward God to say, if God said I'm going to get it, I'm going to get it. I don't know how it's going to come. I just know it's going to come. Am I telling you to forget stuff? Absolutely not. Listen, take no thought for your life what you shall eat, neither for the body or what you shall put on. There's so many people banking it up. I got to save for some shoes. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Think of all the things we bank up for. What are we banking for? What are we banking for? What are we banking for? I'm teaching today.
Yes.
What? Think about what you put on. Okay, there you go. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Look at somebody say broke.
Broke.
Looking at the storehouse. Broke counting money. Broke counting money. They don't have a storehouse. God feedeth them. How much are ye better than the fowls? And which of you taking thought, somebody say thinking.
Thinking.
Oh, I know you're thinking. How can I get more? How can I work it out? I mean, you wouldn't meditate on a scripture 15 minutes. Amen? But boy, you had a business idea, you get out a notepad, a pen and paper, you call through the phone book. Somebody say hallelujah to work that thing out and meditate on that thing because you're broke. You're broke looking at that storehouse. Somebody say hallelujah. I'm giving you, somebody say the second test. Go on back to the other test if you want to. Amen. But God's going to do some things. Amen. God will teach you that He is your source. That He is your source. He didn't have a problem with you having a storehouse. He just doesn't want the storehouse having you. He didn't want you broke. Somebody say thank you, Jesus. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? I need a, oh, bro. Hallelujah. Now, which one of you taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? Some of you thinking, I'm going to think this out and make myself better, make myself bigger. I'm going to come out on top, always thinking, what can I do to get ahead? What's the extra edge? Thinking. You're thinking, I don't care how smart you think you are, how many business ideas you think you have, and I'm not against business, amen. Y'all know I believe in it, amen. Amen. But those little thoughts, amen, come on now. God is your source. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all that stuff's going to be added. If you can't believe that, you're too broke. You have to realize you're already rich. You're already blessed. You're already redeemed. Already taken care of. Amen?
Amen.
Stop wasting, stop thinking so hard to make yourself look stupid.
Amen.
So say, I always got a scheme going. Can't even relax or enjoy a cup of coffee. Amen. Thinking. I'm sick of it. Get your mind on Jesus. People come to church around here. Come on. Broke. Can add one stature to his cubit. If then ye not being able to do that thing which is the least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies how they grow. They toil not. Some say not toiling. Not spinning. Yeah, and yet I say unto you, Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow cast in the oven, how much more will he clothe you? O you of little faith, seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink. Look, I got to have some food on the table. Come on now. You like eating, don't you? I gotta be this way. I gotta have $67,000 in the bank because you know what? I'll be so old. You meet people like that all the time, and we don't know what's gonna be on the table. How are we gonna survive? What's gonna happen? What's gonna happen? Banking. We need that storehouse is my security. No, it's not. You can have one, but it better not be secured because you can have it. One thing can happen.
Amen.
One thing can happen. Amen. Anything can happen and it don't mean nothing. He has to be your source. He has to be your source. Neither be thinking not we shall eat and drink, and don't be doubtful minded. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that you need them. He knows you need these things. But rather seek the kingdom of God. Somebody say hallelujah. Seek the kingdom of God. Even on your job, seek the kingdom of God. I got one. Seek the kingdom. But when I go, I'm not seeking. Thank God the money's there, but I have to keep myself in the line of the Word of God or I'll lose it. I'm seeking the paycheck. No, the paycheck belongs to God. Seek first. So when I'm seeking my employment, I'm seeking the kingdom of God because all my needs are met. I'm already rich. I'm just being obedient. Obviously, He wants to use this for a greater call. Therefore, I can open myself up to $1 million. Amen. Therefore, I can see that happening. You know why? Because I'm not working for me. I'm working for Him. I'm not working for me. I'm even when I'm doing my secular employ, amen, I don't need it. I'm working because the Bible tells me to work or do different things. Amen. He don't want you sitting around looking stupid. Some of you are going to go broke thinking that God's going to put it on the table. Glory to God. He just told me I didn't need to work. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. No, no, no. No. You can go into work and go into employ and be a witness to everybody you meet. Let people see how God blesses you, and you're a witness there. Amen. You're working, but as you're working, you're seeking God. God is just not in church. He's on your job. He's in your business. He wants to meet you there. You've already won. You're not in that thing by yourself. He's supplying your need. Somebody say hallelujah. Don't be down. Rather, seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock. For it is your Father's good pleasure, some say good pleasure, not to cause you to earn it, not to cause you to stress over it and worry over it and fight over it and scratch and claw and save up for it. You're not going to buy the kingdom of God. It's given to you. That's why I said don't sink it up. Listen, your future is already given to you. God's going to be there. You're not going to buy it. You don't have to buy security. He is your strength, your hope, your provision. You just need to trust Him. Some say, be rich toward God. Therefore, you can be rich enough if you know that God's got you taken care of, that He is going to give you the kingdom. How many believe? See, some of you don't believe that God's going to give you the kingdom. You're too broke because you don't believe that He's going to give it to you. You're still trying to buy it, trying to earn it, trying to work for it, try to happen. No, those that know that He's going to give it to us, then we're rich enough toward God, amen, to sell. Somebody say hallelujah. Sell that you have and give alms. Provide back yourselves bags that wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that fail not, where no thief approaches, neither moth corrupted. For where your treasure is, somebody say where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Somebody say, test.
Test.
And there's the test, verse 34. That's the root to the second test. Notice that when He tested, He said, I'm going to prove these people. I want them to go build an altar. That was the test, building the altar. He said, I'm going to prove them that when you go to build the altar, somebody, after you get it, now the test is, amen, you can't pass a test given what already belongs to God. They don't prove nothing. Just that you're not a thief. But what does that say? I'm not going to marry somebody because they're not a thief. I'm going to marry them because of what they are. We expect God to be jumping up and down and clapping for us because we didn't rip Him off. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You give me back what belongs to me, and that's supposed to tell me something about you? I give you my car, and you drive it back to the parking lot and give me the keys, and you look at me, well, somebody say hallelujah. There's my keys over there, and if you went and got my keys and gave it to me, don't stand in front of my face and expect me to clap for you. They're my keys. Somebody say, they don't say nothing. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
They don't say nothing. It says everything about God, but doesn't say anything about you. Somebody say, your treasure. Say, your treasure. God looks for your treasure. He says, I'm looking on the kingdom side. No, that's mine. That's not theirs. That's my tithe. Somebody say hallelujah. He said, I've got to find their heart. Where's the heart? Oh, here. I see it over here. Look at that. That love, that grace. Look at them moving in that area. Look at their heart toward others. Amen. God will find you in your bank account. I used to tell people all the time, you want to find out where your heart is, look at your checkbook. And don't you dare call the tithe yours. Here it is, right there. There it is, right there, Jesus. Oh, that's not yours. We can't take credit for what belongs to God. Somebody say hallelujah. Oh, it's quiet in here. Somebody say hallelujah. Hide behind Jesus. We all look rich, don't we? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
How many want to change your heart?
Amen.
How many want to change your heart? I want to change my heart.
Amen.
Now, I can say this. Come on, people say, oh, you're just trying to get my money. You already got mine. Somebody say hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. No. The Word of God, not just me, but the Word of God says, where your treasure is. Jesus is trying to tell you, listen, I'm going to take care of you. That's hard to believe. He doesn't have a problem with bank accounts. He doesn't have a problem with you. You can't outgive God. It's impossible to give to God and not increase. Amen? It's impossible. But where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The second test is a test of treasures. The test of treasures. The test of treasures. The first test is a test of trial. Second test is a test of treasure. And God wants you to be faithful with that. Did you enjoy that this morning?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Why don't you stand up right where you are? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And I tell you what, if you get a job and they test you, they're not going to test you with something that you don't have to be responsible with. They're not going to make you a doctor and make you test on legal stuff for lawyers.
No.
God will only test you what he wants to use you in. The thing that God wants to use you in, you will be tested in. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. I'm going to make you a brain surgeon. Come on in here while I test you on Mack trucks. Glory to God. All right, now, in the fourth gear, what do? Glory to God. No, you're tested in the area of your responsibility. God's going to come through for you. Amen? Hallelujah. How many are glad we're hearing this kind of stuff?
Amen.
Not teaching you how to get it. We're already teaching you like you got it. Amen? And being responsible how to keep it. The devil tests you to keep you where you are, to keep you in the wilderness. God will test you to prove you, to keep you in the promised land.
Thank you.
Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm so tired of seeing people get over, go back, get over and go back. Up we go, back we go, up we go, back we go. No, just trust God. Just trust God, and you'll always go forward. God bless you, people, for coming here today. Thank you. We love you, and God loves you. Lift up holy hands in this place. Father, we thank you for your grace, your mercy, and your power. Lord, you love these people more than they love themselves. Father God, you've got a call on their life. You have an anointing on your life, on their life, Father God. God, you love them more than they love money. Thank you, Jesus. You must love them a lot. Hallelujah. So, Father. So, Father. Right now, in the name of Jesus, take care of your people. They have so many needs, so many issues. Help them, God. Lord, we thank you for keeping this church open for them and for me. I thank you for it, God. And I thank you for every person you got in this room today, Jesus. And I love you for them, God. And I hold them to be valuable and precious in your sight, God. And I bless you for them, God. Lord, I thank you for the ones that came early and the one that came late, Father God. Just thank you, Jesus. Because in the big picture, it all matters, God. And you're faithful. They're here in front of your face right now. And the only thing that matters is right now, God. And right now, your children are in front of your face because they love you and they trust you, God. And they put up with me because they love you. So bless them for it right now in the name of Jesus. Don't let them down, Father God. Bless them. Keep them. And lead them. Cause them to get along in love
and walk in grace and go to the next level. Don't allow the enemy to hinder their mind. But let them walk right on through. In Jesus' name we pray. If there's anybody discouraged, Lord, help them. Help them right now in the name of Jesus. Be their peace. Be their peace. Be their peace. Let them see a glimpse of victory, a glimpse of joy, God. That their labor is not in vain in Jesus' name. God's got a plan. They're going to get there. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Please love each other as you go. Amen. Hallelujah.
Bless the Lord. Y'all enjoy that this morning?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Huh? Okay.